This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit menstclinic.com.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's hour three of the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. We're 2.5 hours away from Rangers pregame show. It's time to give you some Cowboys Twitter here. Top tweets going viral about America's team. General at your service. There's Brian Broaddus, Lucius Alexander, Zach Wolchuk, Eric Chiafalo, Carter Freeman. No, Carter Freeman's not coordinating your video. No, it's a different gentleman back there.
That's Ryan.
Good afternoon to you, sir. Thank you for all your great work. 105throughthefan.com, Twitch, and YouTube. He's coordinating all that video for you. All right, Sean Sweeney takeaways. We got stuff on that coming up. We got Jalen Brunson news coming up. We got all kinds of stuff to talk about here on 105.3 The Fan as we cover the entire DFW sports scene. But I want to get into some Cowboys Twitter because Micah Parsons has made quite the headline and quite the wave across Cowboys Twitter with talking about wanting to hit 23 sacks for the upcoming season. And I just wanted to see how realistic you guys think that is at this point.
23?
Yeah.
I need to look up the all-time, like, how many people have cleared 20. That's an extremely high bar. Is Micah Parsons one of the few guys that you feel like could, like has that type of ability? I just don't know if he really gets the volume, like the pass rush
will
volume.
Will the opportunity be there is right. The question. I think Micah can do it. Will the opportunity be there? Ooh. So T.J. Watt tied it with 22.5 last year.
That's a lot to ask. Now, kudos to TJ because he did that in like two less games,
I think. I think he only played 13 or 14 games.
Yeah, so that was strong. But TJ Watt, I would imagine, has considerably more pass rush opportunities than Micah because Micah plays off ball and they blitz him a lot and they'll put him on the edge and do stuff. But to get to 23 sacks, you have got to be rushing the quarterback, you would think, on damn near every passing down throughout the entire season. That's a tough number to hit.
I'd probably say no. I don't think he can do that. I do like him saying the bar's, you know, the minimum's 15. I think that's achievable. He had 13 last year, and that's him just scratching the surface of his potential. You know, not thinking this is something he's going to have to do. All of a sudden, they lose to Marcus Lawrence. Week two, it's like, all right, we're playing the Chargers. Here you go, Micah Parsons. We're going to need you to rush off the edge. And, oh, my gosh, was that a home run? They really found something there. So, this year, I think the fact that he's saying this, he knows it's something that Dan Quinn's going to want him to do. And, I mean, look, the three of us, you know, Brian, Eric, myself, we've been out there at these practices. DeMarcus Lawrence, Sam Williams, all these guys included, anytime Micah Parsons working with the edge rushers, it's clear he's head and shoulders above the best of the bunch.
Yeah.
He's just a freak of nature.
Yeah.
And if he's got an opportunity, he's going to get home to the quarterback. I just, to Eric's point, I don't think the opportunities will be there to break the record, but I think 15 is achievable.
Well, I think he can do it, you know, because they're going to need to get aggressive. What we really need is for Neville Gallimore or for Osa Odighizuwa to show up on the interior. And now with Tank and Osa, there would be so much for the offensive line to worry about that you could spring him through on blitzes. And when you do line him up, there's so much pressure for the interior guys to help with. I think it's more doable than others because of his pressure rate, because of his sack rate, and because of how much he plays stand-up linebacker. It allows him to come free in situations where the guys he's competing against historically, they didn't get those chances.
It's a good point.
You know, and I think like Dan Quinn's going to dial him up.
Yeah, with that interior rush with Osa, and I heard you guys talking about, you know, I know The Athletic had that article about him and maybe that second year breakout. And I like that with Osa. I mean, I think Osa's been looking good as well. So could be onto something there, Gavin.
Do you guys have any fear just that offenses are going to be so much more Micah focused when it comes to the Cowboys defense, like offensive coordinators, play callers, like Mike is the guy that they're circling of, this is the guy we have to stop. Do you have any concern about that? Or are you like me where you think Micah is one of these transcendent dudes? Like, everybody knew Lawrence Taylor was the guy to stop. Everybody knows Aaron Donald's the guy to stop. Everybody knows TJ Watt's the guy to stop, but you can't stop him. Yeah. I think Micah Parsons is a can't stop him kind of guy.
I think he is a guy that's on every offensive coordinator's mind. I think you're onto something, though. I think his ability, the quickness, the power, the strength, the leverage, the ability to finish where the quarterback is, I think all those things present problems. The way he breaks down offensive tackles, and if you try and double him in stuff like that, he's strong enough to split double teams too. So if it means that he's taking, extra blockers with him, I mean, that we're going to probably talk about it a lot after games. Like, hey, they were able to get Osa home because of Parsons.
Right.
You know, we'll be watching the All-22, and it's like, hey, did you see that twist stunt they ran where Micah took three with him and they got Tank home on the other side? You know, stuff like that. I mean, I kind of feel like, though, yes, they're going to pay attention to him. Yes, I think once he started sacking everybody last year, I think they were paying attention to him, and it didn't work out well for those teams.
Yeah.
They still had problems with him.
Is there a sack assist category that we can add?
Ooh, there's not, but we should.
That'd be kind of cool, right?
Because they give half sacks and stuff like that.
That's the thing we used to talk about with Tyrone Crawford. Remember him? It was always when
he would do a lot of the dirty work.
Yeah, the inside pressure, all of a sudden he's holding up, and then they'd get somebody home on the twist, maybe Lawrence or somebody like that back in that time. But yeah, I'm sure there's going to be a lot of times where we talk about Micah being the guy that's helped them get sacks.
And you think 23 is within striking distance for a player like this?
Man, because I think he's going to have some games where he doesn't have sacks because of the attention he's going to get. But I think maybe the team will still be able to sack. Maybe it's not going to be him, but he might go on a run where he has two, three sacks, maybe two, three games in a row, and then a couple of games where he doesn't have a sack. So it's going to be a matter of being consistent throughout, but he's capable with the ability he has.
And another thing to look at is the schedule with bad quarterbacks on it. You know, they are more prone to getting sacked, more prone to getting mistakes. Jason Garrett gives advice to Mike McCarthy. That's next here in Cowboys Twitter. Said the biggest thing for any head coach and for any player is just to focus on yourself and what you need to do to be your best.
It's the
you
process.
Couldn't make it up. just worry about what you can control. Yeah. That's what Jason Garrett went on you. And there's a lot to deal with when it comes to being the head coach of this team. And I think Mike McCarthy's handling it pretty well. I don't think he needs a bunch of help. But it's interesting to see Jason Garrett's perspective on it and be reminded of how boring and generic he can be when he's asked about the Cowboys.
Yeah, man. I'm glad he stayed true to himself there.
There you go. Yeah. Life's all about consistency.
Amen.
Latest with the Cowboys and tight end Dalton Schultz. What do we have here, Wolchuk? What's the buzz?
Yeah, so I just saw Blogging the Boys shared an article that they're far apart right now when it comes to their latest contract negotiations. So nothing has really progressed when it comes to the Cowboys and Dalton Schultz. They're still far apart in terms of their contract. I don't think that's surprising to any of us. I mean, that's why Dalton Schultz ultimately held out from that last week of OTAs, but he was there at minicamp and, Broadus, we were just talking about this. I think we're getting pretty close here. We're just a few weeks away before, if you're going to reach a long-term deal prior to that deadline for the tag.
July 15th.
Yeah. It's like, all right, so this thing's probably not going to get done and you're going to play on the tag as we expected. And that's a good thing ultimately.
Yeah. You will not have guys get back in the office until after July 4th. And that'll give you, 11 days to maybe get something done. But I think everybody's on break right now, and, nobody's really, really interested in moving that along from what I'm hearing.
Well, I think that would be great. I think they're playing it right. I'm willing to pay a tight end big-time money, but I want him to be a matchup nightmare or be an incredible player in blocking when it comes to helping out the running game or the passing game, and neither one of those things is true for Dalton Schultz. So I'm really impressed with how they processed a lot of their decisions this offseason and didn't stick around with guys who have made plays for them in the past and maybe we're in the process of sort of reshaping what this roster is all about. I thought there was a big hangover and an outdated way of going about things from the Jason Garrett decade era. Okay, the Cowboys Wire tweeting, the Cowboys have some holes on their roster, but here are five positions where they are the strongest heading into training camp. If you are going to power rank, like, give me your top three Cowboy position groups that you feel best about with 4.5-5 weeks till Oxnard, guys.
Man, that's actually, it's, I think I feel pretty good about the safeties. Mm-hmm. I like where they're at with Jayron Kearse and with Malik Hooker and with Donovan Wilson. And we know how much that Dan Quinn likes to run the three safety stuff. So I think you feel pretty good there. I mean, it's weird. You might just the secondary in general.
Yes.
With Anthony Brown and Trayvon Diggs. And
yeah.
Just the secondary in general is probably that. And then, I don't know. Is it the D-line?
I would say the D-line. I've come on the station and talked about the one group that I enjoy watching, whether it's the defensive tackles or defensive ends when they're split groups. I love watching them go through drills and stuff with Dan and AD and those guys, you know, as they're working. I think that's the group that has actually the most depth to it.
Yeah,
and
that's exciting.
And yep. If you had to move along from a player to go get another player, maybe the surplus is with this defensive line. Maybe that's the one where if they're short a corner or short a wide receiver, then maybe that's the group that you would trade a guy from to go pick up one of those players.
I'm with you. That'd be my number one. You know, I think that's been the best group. I mean, you're sitting out there at practice and you're looking at it and it's, man, they've really done a good job turning over this defensive line, especially D-tackle. I mean, remember, we were talking about, man, the Cowboys don't have any depth at defensive tackle. Well, all of a sudden you draft Neville Gallimore, you've got Osa Odighizuwa, you bring in Ridgeway, and you're feeling pretty good about defensive tackle. You add a Sam Williams. I like what they've done with the defensive line.
Well, I haven't seen him out there yet. You guys were at OTAs. I wasn't. So, you know, for me, it was the secondary. And then my second group is quarterbacks. You know, I think I feel better basically about Dak as I do about, like, the average of other guys in other position groups. But the fact that Broaddus studies this team so carefully is a former scout and points to defensive line. That's your path to victory.
Mm-hmm.
Having the secondary be a little bit better than last year. Malik Hooker, you know, fully recovered from injury. Anthony Brown played a hell of a corner. If Diggs gets better and this defensive line can lead your football team, then I think we're talking about a path to, you know, maybe even playoff victory. You know, that defense went to the playoffs. I know the defensive line and that whole deal has been a major priority of Mike McCarthy. All righty, let's talk some Mavs here with you. You know, we're through the hiring process now. I think we've made it. And, Brian, when you were out a couple of weeks ago, we talked about this article from Callie Kaplan in the morning news about one of the Mavericks' assistants, the guy that Jason Kidd worked with in Milwaukee. And then he'd been in Detroit, and he worked with Christian Wood. And now that we're through this process, I think retaining the coaching staff and even adding to it has been a major win. I don't know if they make the defensive adjustments in the Utah series, and then on Devin Booker in the second round, taking him out, that ultimately got this team to the conference finals. I think Sean Sweeney has been a massive, you know, piece of where they are, and now going into the future coming up next year. And beyond, I think he's one of those guys like maybe Dan Quinn that you want to hang on to at all costs.
Yeah, I've learned just watching the Mavs is that when they get up off the bench or, you know, like the play is going on, Sean Sweeney stands up a lot and walks down and says stuff to Jason Kidd. So, you know, Kidd's got that kind of, and we'll acknowledge, and then, you know, there may be, you know, Sean's seen stuff along the way. From talking to people around the league, this is one of the really young, bright coaches.
Yeah. That,
you know, when it comes to, and
just people, a matter of time at this point.
Yeah. Well, people,
he had interviews in Utah and Charlotte.
Yeah. People say that where, you know, working with him, that he's got a really good understanding of players too. You know, sometimes you worry about when you work with coaches and they want to do it their way and this way, you know, but he's one of those guys. And we were talking about maybe a guy, or, you know, when you don't fall in love with players. Now, I'm kind of getting that vibe of talking to people because I ask about Sean all the time. I'm like, man, what about this guy? Oh, no, man, this is a good young coach. We're lucky we have him, got him back, mm-hmm. kind of a thing. So, yeah, I think when you said exactly about, you know, you were surprised that you got Dan Quinn back, I think getting Sweeney back for another year here, I think is a huge get for the Mavs to keep him on staff.
You look at Jimmy's coaching staff when the Cowboys were on top, Rick Carlisle's coaching staff with Dwayne Casey and Terry Stotts, like all the great teams that, you know, like Frank Vogel's staff that had Jason Kidd on with the Lakers. Sure. You know, LeBron was on a team with an incredible coaching staff there. And I think those things really matter.
Yeah. And when you talk about the Christian Wood trade, and we remember that Sean Sweeney was on staff in Detroit when Christian Wood was there. Yeah. Like, I don't know if that whole deal comes together if Sweeney's not in the ear of Nico and Kidd saying, hey, we can really do something with this guy.
Right.
Yeah. No, that's great. And I love the nugget about the personnel. I didn't know, you know, that he could be a good personnel guy as well. It's clear this team is looking at its players differently than they did 12 months ago.
They are. They're absolutely, because we talked about, you know, with Mark Cuban, does he step back? Is he, you know, the fact they made the trade with Porzingis, the fact that, you know, Nico being a first-year general manager, you know, there's, you got to lean on certain guys. And if all of a sudden is Sean Sweeney and others on that staff have an opinion or know a player, you know, and it works out well, that like, oh, okay, I see it. I see it with this guy. You know, those guys are so valuable to have on your staff.
All right, we got a lot of good things cooking. Coming up at 5 o'clock, there's a couple of GBAC exclusives that you're going to want to tune in for. Jason Kidd, Kyrie Irving, is that a fit? You talk about how you feel about Kyrie Irving's personality or what you think about his basketball game with Luka. What if these guys might work incredibly well together? Would that change how you look at Kyrie Irving and how palatable that might be? Okay, the Mavs are on a very small list of teams that Kyrie Irving would accept a trade to. So we'll talk about that more long form coming up at 5 o'clock. I think you're going to want to stick around for that. And what we're hearing about Jalen Brunson is really escalating over the last 24 hours. And we'll tell you what some of our sources are saying about why the Mavs might be willing to actually let him walk. That's coming up next in the G-Bag Nation.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome back, Nation. Time for Wooly Bully. Zach Wolchuk is top 10 at 420 is right now. Segment's brought to you by the Frankels. You think there will be less big company trucks on the road this summer because of gas prices? Think again. And those big trucks have insurance companies to protect them. So get the representation that won't settle for less. Franklin Frankel, truckwreck.com. Here's Wolchuk.
All right, homies. So we're going to start off with a sports top 10, then we'll move into the fun top 10. I will say, get your texts in for the fun top 10, 877-881-1053. It's National Bring Your Dog to Work Day. I know we're all big dog lovers. Got to be, right?
I know Broadus is not trying to take any of these dogs that he's got now. Yeah. Huh? Broadus is not trying to take one of his dogs to work. He's down to load him up in the truck and then maybe
drive him out to the country.
Who knows where they end up?
No. Trying to Old Yeller?
There you go, boy.
Tamara's listening.
Go take you a walk.
That's not
no,
right.
No, Bowser's a great guy.
You don't
good
like
name,
him?
Bowser.
He's coming to the house. Yeah.
Bowser's a good name.
Eric's come in the house a couple of times. And so the,
what kind of dog?
They're the Australian, like little sheepdogs. They're like
Australian Shepherd.
Shepherds. Yeah.
Maisie, the one that I gifted my ex-girlfriend. That I now
I'll tell you what, they are, it's funny, they are like, you know, my problem is, I give them too many treats, you know? Mm-hmm. So now they're expecting, like,
you spoiled them.
Yeah, Tamara and Carson, they've got it, the dogs under control. I don't have the dog scene under control. I'm the, here's a treat, here's another treat.
I'll come
now,
over there and get
you watch that dog whisper.
Yeah, now the dogs are like, they're just always looking for something.
See, you are my parents to my daughter, It's just, sure, yeah, you can have whatever you want.
Grandparents' role is.
Yeah, now they associate my parents as just like candy, yes, candy havers and yeah, Coke havers and all that kind of stuff.
Wait, soda. Excuse me?
Soda.
Soda.
Party on.
Coca-Cola.
It said ice cream. Young
and the Chiapala household.
Gone there. Coke yeah, parents, what?
Grandpa's that's he's not, a wild animal.
I've met your parents, and I love your mom dearly.
But no, I went.
Well, check out that church. Sorry. Yo,
no, it's all good. That was on me. My dad's going to kill me.
Being the crusty I am, I didn't have a dog in my life. I was 16 years old. It was the last time I had a dog.
Oh.
And so living with two dogs now
I figured you'd be a dog guy.
I really tell you what.
It's a lot of traveling.
It is, yeah, a lot of traveling.
That makes sense.
Like, but no, hey, they have to go outside at 4 in the morning.
They do.
They have to go, it's...
Yeah, they got a schedule.
You have to get up, and I don't mind. I really don't, but man, it's getting used to if you haven't been around dogs. And they're little dogs, too.
That's fair.
They're little.
Little bleep holes.
Yeah.
I love them. I mean, I come from a family that bred dogs. My grandfather, Heppy, was a dog breeder in South Africa. He bred Rhodesian Ridgebacks.
Well,
so I've been around it my whole life.
We've learned that's a side hustle yesterday on LA Live. Yeah. Dogs was a dog good breeding side hustle.
No yeah, doubt. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. Some of the breeds, it's like $5,000 for a puppy.
Well, and some wow, people are doing it wrong out there. They'll tell you that it's a purebred, but it's really mixed with a lot of other things. So yeah, you got to make sure you're not getting...
And they look close?
Yeah.
As puppies, they all look kind of similar.
And then afterwards, yeah, you'll get the dog, and you'll send it in there for that DNA test, and it'll come back, and it's like a mosh posh of all kinds of things.
You got catfished.
No. Yeah, it's bad. So you just got to be careful out there and try and know what you're doing.
But your we'll pug's get, growing a long nose.
Yeah, it's like, well, I don't know. Is it Rottweiler or what's going on here? But we'll get to the famous, the top 10 most famous and lovable dogs from movie and TV. So text in yours there, 877-881-1053. But CBS Sports is doing their top 10 position rankings. They did corners today. And where did they have Diggs? So they didn't have Jair Alexander in the top 10. He was their first one out of the Packers. I found that interesting.
Oh.
Because I think Jair Alexander is easily a top 10 corner.
That's weird.
That is very weird.
They had Marlon Humphrey, the Ravens, at 10.
Yeah, but this is the same outfit in CBS Sports that had Zeke still as a top 10 running back.
Well, that's
I think everything's grain of salt
that's
style.
That's Patrick Walker. It depends on who's doing the rankings. And Patrick Walker's a Cowboy homer. And I like Patrick Walker. Does
Patrick
a lot of good
hates
work.
The Packers.
Does a lot of good work. He did not do... Well, he did do these rankings. Yes, he did.
Yeah,
so he hates the Packers. He had Marlon Humphrey at 10. A.J. Terrell of the Falcons at 9.
Boy, I tell you what. You know what's interesting? A lot of people, real quick, I don't mean to hijack your list there.
No, hijack it.
But there was a lot of people that thought that the Cowboys were, the Cowboys were never interested in him.
Were they not? Because we heard those rumors.
No, they really weren't interested in him. And so, yeah, the rumors were they were, and they really went. But he's turned into a really good
really
player.
Really has.
Yeah.
And it's interesting because I was a little iffy watching him at Clemson. I saw the upside there, but he...
Right before CeeDee Lamb went off the board.
Interesting player.
Yeah.
Tre'Davious White of the Bills is at 8. Kenny Moore II, who quietly put together a hell of a year last year with the Colts, is at 7. Denzel Ward of the Browns comes in at 6. And then Trayvon Diggs is at 5. Mm. All the way up to number 5. Marshawn Lattimore at 4. J.C. Jackson, formerly of the Patriots, now with the Chargers at 3. Xavien Howard, Baylor Bear, of the Miami Dolphins at 2, but the number one corner being Jalen Ramsey at 1. Y'all have much issue with that top 10 other than Jair Alexander probably getting snubbed?
No, Jair is a little bit wonky otherwise.
Diggs at 5, is that, you think that's fair from what he did last year? I think that's... Well,
yeah, and I think the thing with Diggs is, though, that there's people... I think Diggs is still going to get attacked. I do. I mean, the press coverage stuff, we were talking about it while you were on baseball duty. The press coverage stuff, the numbers were really impressive.
But off
coverage, mm-hmm, that's where the struggles were. And if you find a way to get him an off coverage, I think he's a different corner.
Right.
So if it's me, if I'm Dan Quinn, and I see these numbers, and Mike McCarthy likes to tell us he believes in Pro Football Focus and all that stuff like that. If the numbers tell you not to play that kid in off coverage because he gives up, the quarterback rating's really good, he doesn't get too many balls, and then all of a sudden he doesn't tackle well enough, I don't think I would put him in those situations for sure.
Bless you.
Thank you. I think 5 is fair.
Yeah.
And I think it's balanced. You could put him top 2 and be like, what? He's all pro and everything. But it's not a slam dunk. Here is a guy who's a clear candidate for the best corner in football. He's a guy that had one great interception season. And if he does it again, I think in everybody's mind, he'll be a top
two or three corner by anybody's estimation. But right now, you got to kind of say, well, is he a second teamer? Mm-hmm. Is he not going to be an all-pro anymore? Like, you could have the take, Trevon Diggs will never be an all-pro again. And I would say, you know, that sounds fairly reasonable to me.
Could you shoot down the guys, the 6 through 10, please, real quick?
Yeah.
And see if you would take any of these guys over him.
Yeah, absolutely. So let's start at 6, going back to that real quick.
Yeah.
Where you have, hold on 1 second, Denzel Ward of the Browns.
Okay.
Probably.
Kenny Moore, the second of the Colts.
See, I'm not going to act like I
haven't watched him.
I don't act like I can't watch a lot of Colts. I'll see him this year because it's an opponent.
Tre'Davious White of the Bills.
He's really good.
Really good player.
Yeah.
And then A.J. Terrell of the Falcons.
Yeah, there you go. Mm. I mean, I think.
That's pretty close,
I'll tell you this. You know, I think I would tell you this.
I'd lean our guy. I think there's more upside with Diggs.
Well, geez, that's tough.
I can't remember if I had Terrell over Diggs. Because I had Diggs with a second round grade, but I think I had Terrell in the first round, though.
Okay,
I'm just trying to come out of college.
Terrell then.
Yeah.
And then Marlon Humphrey at 10.
Yeah.
I would definitely take Jair Alexander, who they had at 11.
Over all those guys.
Yeah, I would. Absolutely. Yeah. I would take Jair Alexander. But I like that with Diggs. And the thing is, a lot of people are knocking him for the yards allowed as well. To me, that's tough. Because I think there's, you know, that's one of those stats where they might put yards on Diggs that shouldn't be on Diggs. Like a lot of people.
Not would, scientific enough for you?
Well, sure. I mean, there's a lot of people that would put that Patriots play where he gave up that touchdown to Kendrick Bourne.
Mm-hmm.
When afterwards, if you ask people, and I know Bobby did some research on this.
Safeties were
on
bad.
The safety.
Safety was bad
right?
there, too.
But they might put the yards on Diggs and say that's yards allowed on him.
Both guys were in the wrong
spot. Doesn't that
kind
of equal out, though,
over
17
one.
Games?
Well, it might.
Okay. How many? I'm not going to say it happened a lot. But there were times when you watch the ball is running through the secondary and all of a sudden Diggs is kind of chasing. You're like, tackle him, bro. Tackle him. Get him on the ground. You know, and then you're waiting for Curse or somebody else to go over there and tackle the guy. It just seemed like there were too many plays where it was extended where he could have made, instead of it being a 19-yard gain, it could have been an 8-yard gain.
Definitely you know? Areas in his game he can clean up coming into this year. 100%. No question about it. He's not a finished product. But we got to remember, I think this is what, going into year 4 of him playing the position?
Yeah.
So there's a lot of work to be done.
Man, they were talking about him as a first-round pick. They were going to take him at 17.
All right, here is the top 10 on National Bring Your Dog to Work Day of the most famous and lovable dogs from movies and TV. Now, these are real dogs. These are not your cartoon dogs. So there won't be any Scooby-Doo.
Scooby-Doo?
Or Clifford the Big Red Dog.
Clifford.
Unfortunately.
Oh, wait. So that means my guy Wishbone Lassie. Stands a chance.
Wishbone's an honorable mention.
Wow. Okay.
Well, and I love Wishbone. PBS. Oh, I would watch a lot of Wishbone.
Me too, dude. He was, what a legend. I don't know what happened to that show, but that was a staple.
Well, I think
for
it
me.
Was filmed here, maybe in Carrollton.
Okay, yeah. The home of Shaquille O'Neal.
Absolutely.
By the way, our good friend Rachel in the 972 says that she takes her dogs to work all the time.
Shout out to Rachel. Heck yes, a soda teammate of mine. Number 12, and I've never bawled my eyes out more in a movie than this one, Marley and Me. Marley.
That movie sucked so bad. I love Owen Wilson.
Horrible.
That
I'll never watch it again. Movie. Horrible movie. Don't watch it if you're like
sad
me.
And crying horrible or just the plot was bad?
Just everything about it I hated.
Okay.
Just can't stand
I haven't
stand
seen
it.
But
Marley from Marley and Me, she's a sweetheart.
It's Owen Wilson, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
And I think Kate Hudson, but I could be wrong. Number 11 is Eddie Crane from Frasier, his dog in Frasier.
Yeah.
Yeah. Number 10, we got Hooch from Turner and Hooch.
Slobbering dog.
Mm-hmm. Number 9, we got Comet from Full House.
Ah, yeah.
Loved Comet.
I had one of my buddies that lived across the street from me growing up had a golden retriever named Comet.
That's an amazing name.
And he had an Uncle Jesse and Uncle Joey and everything. It was crazy.
What?
Yeah.
This is wild.
Did you live in San Francisco?
Yeah, he lived in San Francisco. It was awesome, man.
Dad was really a comedian.
Yeah.
Also
very, very dirty. Dad was a closet dirty, dirty man.
It's crazy. Number 8 is Buddy from the Air Bud movie.
Oh, yeah. Now, that's one Kick where... That was. I think that was the first movie I ever cried in. Whenever I was a youngster.
When he got taken by the clowns?
Yeah, that clown, man.
Yeah,
gosh, that
clowns are
clown.
Scary.
Now, number 1 said if Old Yeller's not one, this list is trash. I couldn't disagree with you more. I think Old Yeller's extremely overrated.
Yeah, Walchuk actually said that dog deserved
it. He deserved it?
Yeah.
Did you say that?
He did. That was Walchuk who said that.
I think you said it during the break.
Number 7's Old Yeller, though. I can't stand that movie.
Another one of those.
I hate it. And they forced me to watch it in school, actually.
They did a lot. I'm glad they still do that. How about Where the Red Fern Grows?
Ooh, okay.
Another good one.
Mice and Men.
Mice and Men. I watched that too. I hadn't read the book.
Yeah.
And I did enjoy the book. Yeah. Number six
Cliff Notes guy.
Benji.
Benji. Okay. 682 literally just texted in. Hey, don't forget Benji.
Mm-hmm. Don't worry. We got
it's
Benji.
It's a classic right there. In the '80s, Benji was tearing it up.
Number five, we got Beethoven.
Oh, yeah, dude.
I wouldn't mind to get a Beethoven dog.
Saint Bernard?
Those are good-looking dogs.
Adorable dogs.
They are. They're pretty chill, too.
In this heat, it would be terrible.
Yeah, that would be.
There's no way you could do that, that dog.
Do you think they shed?
A little bit. Yeah, my sister had one.
Yeah.
They carry the whiskey. They're just massive, bro.
Big dog. Yeah, they probably don't have a big lifespan.
Cleaning up after them is not easy.
Yeah, maybe I should.
Oh, those are some big grumpers, man.
Yep. Yeah.
They're going to be like, was that Walchuk taking a dump in the yard, or was that the dog?
I'd be confused, too.
Got a homeless camp back here?
Number four is Pete the pup from the Little Rascals.
Oh,
with the target eye.
Yeah, Pete the pup.
Number three is Rin Tin Tin from Where the North Begins.
That dog had some speed.
Okay, I'm glad that you knew who Rin Tin Tin was. Yeah.
He could scoot, huh, Broadus?
He could scoot.
That's black and white TV right there.
I had no idea.
Dog had wheels.
Never saw that show. Dog had real wheels.
Number two, we've got Toto from The Wizard of Oz.
Okay. Toto.
Yep.
Not a big role.
We're not in Kansas
just kind of yippy. I'm starting to hear the overrated chants being being shouted out.
Not even that cute. I mean, it's kind of mangy and ratty.
Very mangy, but is very famous. Yeah.
That's worse than Patrick Walker putting Zeke in the top 10 running backs.
I would have Wishbone at two.
I would too. Oh,
I think we 100%. Should we make a
You guys
call?
Are selling this Wishbone thing big.
Dude, bro, Wishbone kicks so much ass, bro.
Loved Wishbone. But number one, the number one most famous and lovable dog from movies and TV on National Bring Your Dog to Work Day, Lassie.
Lassie.
Yeah. Of course.
Yeah.
Of course it's Lassie.
I don't think anybody's going to push back on that. If we were going cartoons, I was going to lob out Balto and see how was going to react to the crowd
Balto.
There.
Yes.
Lassie was a big utility dog. Wouldn't she like save the day a lot?
Oh, big time. Yeah.
Can almost
Lassie,
talk.
Lassie was a rescue dog.
Was it Timmy? I think
Timmy might have been in that show. Yes. Cujo is getting a lot of love.
Cujo.
Hercules is getting a lot of love from the Sandlot. And I did see some lists where Hercules
was. You guys know Cujo? Didn't Cujo go rabid?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Cujo's
frothing
at
the mouth. Pre-rabid, right? Pre-rabid Cujo is the top dog.
Pre-rabid Cujo. Okay. And shout out to the 214. Don't forget about Milo and Otis. That is such a great movie that I watched as a kid. That followed like a cat and a dog. And it's a nature movie, and it's narrated. And, oh, man, it's a beautiful film. Yes, watch Milo and
Otis.
They get
lost?
We were randomly
they
on...
They do, and they find each other again.
On Disney last night, and we were popping on through their nature section, and there was a movie that we actually watched the first 45 minutes of called The Boy Who Spoke with Badgers. And this little boy in the 70s, he'd go out into the field and he made friends with flipping badgers, hawks. He would call hawks. He would feed badgers. Like this, it was pretty
called
cool.
Called Dr. Doolittle.
Yeah,
bro.
It was. Like the entertainment in the 70s and 80s was crazy because it's all narrated.
Yeah.
And it's like really grainy type of film. And it's so wholesome. It really was like the kind of stuff they would make for the kids to watch. And I was trying to get Abby into it, but she just kept saying it was too old fashioned.
Hey, wholesome?
Yeah.
Wishbone, boys. I'm telling you, 92%.
You guys are way overselling that.
8.2 out of 10 on IMDb is clever, adventurous Wishbone. Jack Russell Terrier can do just about anything. Wishbone brings classic literature to life and imagines himself as the live-action hero in each tale. I'm telling you, it's like it's better than history class.
You're damn right it is.
I'm looking forward to that, actually. I think we have the book sitting on the shelf waiting. We got to run. It's time to go around the NFL coming up next. Yes, sir. Let's do this. Let's go around the NFL brought to you by Metter Dodge Chrysler Jeep Ram. We got about 90 seconds here each, boys. Okay, who wants to go first?
Give me the ball. Give me the ball. Let's go make a big first down chunk play. Alvin Kamara bracing for minimum 6-game suspension following the Vegas arrest. If you remember the Pro Bowl, he got I don't even remember all the details there, but there was some type of altercation when he was in
Played
Vegas
in
the for
game,
the Pro Bowl.
Right?
Yeah, still ended up playing in that game, and then the officers were waiting for him basically right there in the stadium when the game ended. So potential 6-game suspension for Alvin Kamara and the Saints. You know what that's going to do? I'm not even caring about the Saints here. I'm just thinking about fantasy-wise. Do you draft him? Knowing he's probably going to miss first 4 to 6 games. That's a toughie.
When do you draft him? Maybe 7th round? 8th round?
Ooh.
Premium assets are off the board. You feel like I got a solid team?
Yep.
I can make the playoffs, and I can hit the playoffs you know, in style. If I have Kamara to add,
it's a nice shot in the arm to the squad. Yes, for me, it'd be the Chupacabras. For Walchuk, it would be the Puppin Suds, Team Puppin Suds.
In your league, yeah, Team Puppin Suds.
Team Puppin Suds.
Otherwise, we're the Matzo Ballers.
But I would love to have. I think the Chupacabras would love to add Alvin Kamara if you get him in the seventh or eighth round. Now you're talking about steals, because if he's not suspended, then you're talking about Alvin Kamara being like a top two round pick, right?
I mean, he's a first rounder.
He's a first rounder,
no doubt. Yeah. Absolutely.
Puppin Suds?
Yeah. It's a Brink reference, the old Disney Channel original movie.
Okay, I thought it sounded skating. Okay.
Team Puppin Suds, man.
Learn something new about these boys every day, Broadus.
It's a great flick, boys. Broadus has never seen
what,
it.
What, PJ Masks wasn't available?
No. The Wizard Sleeves was.
I was the Wizard Sleeves one year. Beef Curtains another.
Beef Curtains. Wolchuk was second down.
All right, so Chris Sims.
He liked the Beef Curtains, Wolchuk. You can tell. Chris
Sims was interviewing
that.
Joe Burrow, and he was talking about his struggles that he was having at Ohio State. Actually considered a different career path, and here was Joe Burrow talking about that in just a moment.
Cool Joe.
Joey B.
Have you ever had self-doubt? Did you ever, have?
Yeah.
When was that? Like, I look at it and go, man, when you had to leave Ohio State, did you?
Yeah, I was putting in the same work that I always put in.
Right, and you're going, what's going on?
Wasn't playing.
Yeah.
Of course there was self-doubt in that moment. It's, when you don't play for 3 years and you're putting in the work and you feel like you're practicing really well and you feel like, you know, you could go out there and make plays and do what you've always done, but you're not getting the opportunity to show what you can do. It's frustrating. And, you know, there were times where I started updating that resume.
Sure, sure.
To, you know, thinking about being an investment banker or something like that.
Wow.
Crazy. Joe Burrow, who just played in the Super Bowl leading the Bengals there, thinking about investment banking. And I just think that this is a good lesson out there, motivationally. We've all been there, right? You're in a rut. You don't think you're going to make it doing whatever career path you're choosing. Just keep at it. Pursue those dreams. Eric and I have been there with the night show. Here we are, look, hosting on the G-Bag Nation Afternoon Drive. Just keep at it, and you can achieve your goals.
Most of the time.
Most.
No one to call it quits, though. Get some good, honest feedback.
Have some self-awareness.
Like,
about
if all
yourself,
your friends
here,
and your family members are saying, nah, I don't think this is your thing.
Yeah.
Maybe, you know.
Make sure you're good at that
open
particular
eyes,
craft.
In ears. Yeah. You know, we don't get to pick exactly what our calling is for. You know,
you're
it calls
amazing.
Us, not the other way around.
Yeah, you're amazing.
Sometimes.
Really trying to be
here's
uplifting
Brian.
There.
Career killer over here.
No, that was good pep talk.
That was good.
Show,
that was
no,
good.
Everybody
that was
good. Needs a Dawson in their life to poop on their dreams a little bit.
I try.
Yeah. Because then, if anything, it just you take that poop that Dawson gives you, you turn it into a chip on your shoulder.
There you go.
And then you go mother bleep that guy. Then you stick it to the Dawson for the rest of time.
You be the
becomes
monkey
motivation.
That throws the poop right back.
Exactly.
You can become the lead of that janitorial crew. Okay,
show
don't let anybody
fire.
Tell you no. Here's Broadus with third down.
Shift leader. I believe you can be a shift leader. Not full-on general manager, but you can be a shift leader.
All right. DK Metcalf recently told Kevin Hart that Jaire Alexander is among the three different cornerbacks in the league that give him the most trouble. He couldn't make the top 10 list.
Yeah, don't tell Patrick Walker that.
But DK Metcalf, he says he lists Jalen Ramsey, Alexander, and Xavier Howard as the top three cornerbacks that he has to face each year. So it's funny how, again, a guy doesn't make a top 10 list, but one of the better wide receivers in the league say, not so fast, one of the top guys I play every year.
Quite a talented guy up there in Green Bay. Okay, fourth down, Bears linebacker Matt Adams arrested for something in Chicago, Illinois, that I believe he'd still be a free man if he made the great state of Texas his home. Yeah, approximately 6:46 in the evening, he was pulled over. Police searched his vehicle and found him to be in possession of a high-capacity magazine within the city limits of Chicago, which is a municipal code violation. And they also say they recovered a weapon. He is in his first season with the Bears after spending the past four seasons in Indianapolis under Bears coach Matt Eberflus. It's probably a situation where you have a decent gun collection in a more gun-friendly state like Indiana. You're moving over to Chicago, and something unfortunate happened. See, unfortunately, it's no excuse for the law. You can naivete is no excuse for the law, so you got to get learned up and stay up to date on all that stuff so you can stay in compliance with the laws. All righty, it is the G-Bag Nation, three down, about an hour and a half to go before we get to Rangers baseball. It's coming up at 6:30. They got a two-game winning streak and playing some pretty good baseball going into a little series with the Nationals. Yeah, a little more interleague play for you. Have you heard how far the Mavs might have to go to retain Jalen Brunson? And what if our guy is the one guy who can coach the hottest name available in the NBA? That's next on 105.3 The Fan.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.